Hello and welcome to another episode of Amon Sharon's Pirate Radio podcast. Today we have a very special guest, my lovely girlfriend Marissa, and we're going to start a new series. The series already happened, but now we have a title for it. It's going to be Movie Reviews or Movies with Marissa, I think we're going to call it. So today we're reviewing the newest Pixar release, which is Luca. Marissa, what is your score for Luca out of 100?
I'm gonna give it a solid 70.
A solid 70. I knew I liked it more than you, but I didn't know it was gonna be that bad with a 70. My score is gonna be an 86. So I saw Pixar's last film, Soul, which I think I had in the 88 to 92 range. I don't remember exactly. I think I reviewed it on the podcast, but I did think Soul was better. But I see where you're coming from. I do think you could have paid attention a little more if you were off your phone. I think you would have liked it a little more. But I see where you're coming from. So I was looking on Rotten Tomatoes, and they ranked all 23 Pixar films. And number one, they have Toy Story 2 at 100, Toy Story, Finding Nemo, Inside Out, Monsters, Inc. How do you think this movie compared to some of those Up is another one. How do you think this movie, Luca, compares to some of the top tier Pixar films?
I think that it's definitely not up there, but it was still a good movie. Like, it's just cute. It's just a cute movie, a nice feel-good movie. But it didn't wow me.
Okay, that's definitely fair. What did I want to say? I think all Pixar films have a really interesting way of tugging at your heartstrings. And I think you said it perfectly, like a feel-good movie. Is that something you see in Pixar films too? Is that something that keeps you coming back and makes you want to watch the next Pixar film?
Yeah, but I don't really like that aspect of it. I don't like getting all touchy-feely while I watch a movie. I'm more into like a nice rom-com, a nice laugh or something like that. Yeah, I don't want to be like depressed, and Pixar movies make me upset.
Yeah,
too touchy feely.
Yeah, no, I actually know that sentiment very well. I get that too. Like, we're kind of opposite ends of the spectrum. I was like, yeah, go Luca, and you were probably like, oh, this is too sad. The friends are going to be separated at the end, and so I know what you mean. I get that feeling too sometimes, but yeah, thank you for watching with me, and I'm looking forward to the next Pixar film, or maybe we'll do Black Widow.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, thank you guys for tuning in for the first part. I'm going to do a more in-depth review later in the episode, but thank you again to my wonderful girlfriend Marissa for hopping on, and I'll see you guys in the next segment. All right, we are back for the second segment of the Luca review. I'll start off by reading the synopsis, which is: set in a beautiful seaside town on the Italian Riviera, the original animated feature is a coming-of-age story about one young boy experiencing an unforgettable summer filled with gelato, pasta, and endless scooter rides. Luca shares these adventures with his newfound best friend, but all the fun is threatened by a deeply held secret. He is a sea monster from another world just below the water's surface. So that was more of a full summary than it was synopsis, and I read that very dramatically, so I do have to apologize for that. But anyway, I just want to touch on some of my favorite parts of the film, and then this is going to be a shorter podcast, probably stay under that 10-minute range. So after this review, I'll probably talk a little bit about the men's 1500, which is my favorite distance. It was kind of one of my specialty races when I was in college. So I want to talk a little bit about that and who I think will qualify tomorrow. But before we get to that, one of my favorite ongoing, I don't know if theme is the right word, but ongoing catchphrase. And I just really like the sentiment. I keep going back to that word, but the sentiment behind this phrase, which was Silencio Bruno, which is what Alberto says to Luca in the beginning of the film, and he says it many times throughout the film. And it's about Silencio Bruno. So that means Bruno is someone in your head who tells you you're not good enough, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't take that risk, You shouldn't try that next big thing. And silencio Bruno means to shut that voice up and power on and silence your self-doubt. So I thought, as always, that was one of the lesson. What's the lesson here in the Luca movie is that go for it. Go for your dreams. Go for that next big thing. Run that marathon. Start that business. Write that book. Write that great American novel, because what's stopping you? You know, you're your own most enemy, and most of the roadblocks you put up in life are self-made. So I really like that. I know I sounded like regular old Eric Thomas here giving you a motivational speech, but that was a big part of the movie. It was silencing your self-doubt and powering through the brick walls. And the next thing was underdogs stick together. That's the thing I like very much. It's typical, you know, Pixar film, and that the underdogs team up together and win the big race at the end. And I like that. Underdogs should stick together, because who else are they going to stick with? You got to stick with each other. The underdogs got to team up, take down the big bad guy, right, in the end. So I like that. I liked all three main characters. At one point in the film, Alberto becomes jealous of Luca and Julia. And the climax of the film was when Alberto reveals himself to Julia as a mermaid, and Luca betrays him and calls him a sea monster. Before, I always do this when I review movies. I start summarizing and I get complicated. I don't think anyone can understand what I'm trying to summarize. So I'll just finish the climax and not critique myself while I'm mid podcast here. But anyway. Luca betrays Alberto, but of course he ends up coming back when he needs him most, and tries to bring him Umbrella before they go on the downhill. So yeah, obviously he came back. I knew it was a Pixar film and it'd have a happy ending. So Luca ends up apologizing, and everything lives happy ever after in the end, when it's revealed that there's mermaids living amongst the people. And the dad, who is a sea monster hunter — sea monster and mermaid are interchangeable depending on whether you live on the land or sea — and the dad ends up standing up for his friends, Luca and Alberto. And Alberto stays with Massimo, Julia's father, while Luca goes off to live his dream of going to school with Julia and living in the real world. And I really like this film, 86. If I watch it again, if I'm being totally honest, I could see it going down to the lower 80s, but not a top tier Pixar film, like I said earlier, but something I really enjoyed nonetheless. So that's my Luca review. I'm working on getting better at summarizing movies and not summarizing movies and being a little more clear and concise, but that's something I'm working on, you know? We're not all perfect, obviously. All right. The next segment here before I wrap up is going to be a preview of the men's 1500 at the U.S. Olympic trials. I'm going to pull up the start list real quick. Bear with me. Olympic trials start list. So the two favorites in my mind are Craig Angles, my personal favorite of those less in the field. He just has if you know him, he's he's a famous picture after a race with a Bud Light. He didn't actually drink the Bud Light, but that's beside the point. He has a mullet, stash, seems like a fun guy, cool guy to have a beer with. And then on the other side, I think people felt this way, not in like the have a beer with, but he was a fan favorite in the last Olympics. And he's the defending Olympic champion. The other favorite in the field is Matt Centrowitz, Matt Centrowitz Jr., son of Matt Centrowitz Sr., who's now the coach at Manhattan College. Yeah, and he's the defending Olympic champion. His resume speaks for itself. He's known as the best tactician in the world. He was absolutely jogging in the prelim, the semi. So he was just chilling. And Centro at least has a lot to qualify. I was talking to the D's Snapchat group, and they were saying that one of them predicted that it would be Cole Hawker. Well, their order was Centro, Cole Hawker, and Craig Angles in third. if you don't know, the top three in the 1500, as with, I think, all events qualify for the Olympics. So my top three is going to be in this order, Matt Centrowitz, Craig Angles, and Colby Alexander of NJNY. I actually met Colby at the running school briefly, so that was kind of cool. I was pulling for Johnny Gregoric as well, and I don't think he ended up qualifying for the final, but that's the way it goes. So that's my three. I think Colby ran 3:38 in the semis, so he's looking to come back and qualify. I'm still trying to get the start list up so I can go through everyone and talk about everyone I know in the field. I also want to give a huge shout out to Hobbs Kessler. He's an 18-year-old and he's an absolute stud. He didn't end up qualifying for the final, I don't think, but he's a beast. And I want to get I'm gonna try to get Gerard on to talk more about maybe summarize the Olympic finals and get his thoughts on his altitude training and how it's going out there in Arizona. Shout out to Gerard doing the damn thing at high altitude, training for the Philly Marathon. But I digress. I'm going to try to get the start list up. So I will be right back. All right. I was finally able to locate the start list for the final tomorrow. And this is from usatf.org. I'll go through all the names and then touch on the ones who I know. I don't know everyone in the field. I'm no Chris Chavez. Shout out to Chris Chavez. But here we go. So it's Vincent Chietti of Nike, Craig Angles, Nike, Henry Nguyen, he's a Brooks Beast, Colby Alexander, Empire Elite. I guess he's not NJNY, but I'm sure that's, I don't know if that has to do with gags or not. I won't speak on something I don't know. But he's listed as an Empire Elite athlete. Cole Hawker, another favorite. I don't know if he still has eligibility left, but he's listed as an Oregon athlete. Eric Avila of Adidas, Matt Centrowitz, Nike Bowerman, Josh Thompson, Nike Bowerman, David Ribich, who, shout out to David Ribich. He came and spoke to us at during the when he was in town. He came and spoke to the Adelphi cross-country team when he was in town for the Oka Ona Ona Long Island Mile. So big shout out to him. He was nice enough to come talk to us before our season. Next athlete is Yared. It's a tough last name, Yared. Nagusi. Yared Nagusi of Notre Dame. Sorry, I butchered your last name. I know how it feels as a name on Sheeran. Tough names. But yeah, he's a Notre Dame athlete. I don't know. He came in with a time of 3:38. So he was in the fast heat of the semis. So, yeah, I don't think he has much of a chance, but we will see. Sam Prakel of Adidas and Waleed Suleiman, another Brooks beast. So just break it down. Two Nike Bowerman athletes and two straight-up Nike athletes, two Brooks beast, two collegiate athletes. One's Cole Hawker from Oregon. One's Yared from Notre Dame. And Eric Avila of Adidas, and I think that rounds it out. So, like I said, my top three prediction is Centrowitz with the win, Angles in second in a close race, and I think they're going to be neck and neck. And I think Colby Alexander will be like a second half to 2 seconds back, rounding out for third, edging out Cole Hawker. I think I favor Colby's experience and kick over Hawker. Avila, I think, could be in there. Thompson training with Centrowitz. He might have a trick up his sleeve, or in the same training group at least. Prakel's always a threat. Henry Nguyen, the beast, are running well. And then David Ribich, man, he seems really confident. He looks like his Instagram quote was, should fear the man who's having the best time, or something to that effect. Like, he's just living it up, and he feels like he has nothing to lose, and he's ready to just tear it up tomorrow. So Ribich and Alexander are my the two people I'm pulling for to take that third spot. I'd be really surprised if Engels and Centrowitz don't qualify. So that's my prediction. I'd love to have a guest on to do a longer summary of like the Olympic trials as a whole. I have a special guest I won't reveal, but he's been on the podcast before, and I'm hoping to have him back on to talk Olympic trials. He's there as a spectator. So that about sums it up for tonight. Clocking in at 12:45 a.m., 12:45, all for the love of the game, love for the podcast game. Thank you guys for listening to this hodgepodge of an episode with a Luka review and the Olympic Trials U.S. Men's 1500 meter preview. Thank you guys for listening, and I'll catch you next time.